Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can gather together as your people. Help us now to learn from your word, not only to increase our knowledge of you, but so that you will work in our hearts and so that our lives will be changed to better glorify your name. And we pray in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 34 is one of the many named after King David of ancient Israel. And it's important to note the description from the start. Yes, this is an authentic image of David. But it's important to note the description of the psalm. You know, this is not written when David was king. Yeah, please do move on. From a position of strength, like from this, you know, fort or citadel. If you move on to the next one. No, it's not. Look at the opening with me. Of David, when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away. Now, for those who like cross-references, this is probably referring to an episode in 1 Samuel 21. Now, Abimelech is probably another name for Achish, who was a Philistine king. Now, many of you know the Philistines were Israel's enemies. But David was trying to take refuge among them. And that was because King Saul of Israel was trying to kill David. But Achish's servants point out who this David is. And they point out the damage he's done to them in the past in battle. David gets scared, and so he pretends to be insane. He dribbles down his beard, and he graffitis the gates. Maybe like that. So Achish kind of goes to his servants, I've got plenty of insane people in this city already. I don't need another one. Get him to go away. And this is the psalm David writes in thanks to God, from a position of great weakness. Now, a little detail about this psalm is that it's an acrostic poem. The English majors among you know exactly what that is. Maybe some of the others don't. An acrostic poem is where the first letter of each line makes a pattern or a word. So if you could go to the next slide, this is an acrostic. Grace, which can stand for God's riches at Christ's expense. That's an acrostic phrase. And Psalm 34 is kind of like this, but doesn't make a word. It's just in alphabetical order, or at least the Hebrew alphabetical order. And basically, it was there to help people remember the song. Why does David want people to remember this song? Well, he thinks it's important. It's important to praise the God who rescues us. And it's important to praise him together and so that others can hear us. The first three verses tell us that as we praise the God we trust, there will be people referred in the psalm as the afflicted or the humble who will hear those praises and be glad. And this could be one way of defining mission. As God's people speak in praise of him, others will hear about him. Now, I just want to stop a moment to talk about these words mission and missionaries, because they can come with some misconceptions or baggage, maybe like this picture. I don't know if that's what you think of when you think of missionaries. We can move on to the blank one. Thank you. Mission is in the first place God's plan for the world. God is on mission from the Old Testament through the New and to the present day. God is on a mission to bring back people who rebelled against him. And God wants his people to be a part of that mission. So if you're one of God's people, you are on mission as you meet here in Pennant Hills like this, and as you go out to your neighbours, like with Freddo Frogs, handing out, you know, invitations to Christmas events. You're on mission with God. Then there's mission further away, in other parts of Australia and the world. We set aside some people through prayer and with resources so they can go to places where maybe there is no church, or where there are way fewer churches, like in Japan, or where the church needs some sort of assistance. That's why you helped send us to Japan. Psalm 34 encourages us and instructs us as people who are involved in God's mission. Psalm 34 reminds us that we're on mission because we want to tell others about our trustworthy God as he makes us into more trustworthy people. Now, there are 3 points. The first is that we have a trustworthy God. Second point, God is changing us into more trustworthy people. And third point, we are on mission to tell others about our trustworthy God. So point one, we have a trustworthy God. As we've noted, David starts with praises of God. And what's his reason? Well, if you've got your Bibles, please look at verse 6. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him, and delivered him out of all his troubles. David sings that God can be trusted in times of trouble. And David goes on to challenge those who hear his words. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Remember, David's not yet king. He's been running around the wilderness, somewhere like this, hiding wherever he can, and even going to his enemies to keep safe. He, his men, and their families have been hungry, thirsty, and in constant danger. Yet David can say, taste and see that the Lord is good. Reflecting on our time in Japan, sorry, if you could go back a moment, thank you. We can sing with David that God has indeed been good to us, that he saved us from the fears we had. Some of the fears we had before we went, other fears that we kind of had as we were there. The things you prayed for us, so many of them God answered. That we would have a house where we could be hospitable. That Beck could focus on her studies and make progress in Japanese. That the kids would settle into school and kindergarten, and in fact they did more than settle, they thrived at school and kindergarten. That we would be welcomed at our church, at Mondo Bible Church. That we would make friends. God graciously answered your prayers beyond what we could have imagined. We can glorify the Lord together with David. Now I want to challenge you. Taste and see that the Lord is good. I want to say this first to those who haven't yet decided to follow Jesus, if you move. You may be new to church, or you may have been coming for a while. God is ready and waiting to be a part of your life. He says, come, taste and see that I am good. And he provides the way to come to him. And that way is through the man he sent, through the Lord Jesus. Now, Jesus was one person who was completely good and who completely trusted God. And his relationship with God was a perfect relationship of trust. That's unlike ours. Our relationship was a relationship of distrust, of being an enemy of God. As God's enemy, we should have been punished. Yet Jesus, who had the perfect relationship with God, agreed to be punished in our place as God's enemy, so that we could come to God without being punished. In another part of the Bible, Christians are described as having been bought with the blood of Jesus. When we are bought by God, we are brought into a relationship of trust. He makes us someone that he trusts. And at that point, we become God's person, a person he has saved. So please come to Jesus as the one who died for you to bring you to God. Come and taste that the Lord is good. To those who know and trust the Lord, I don't know what difficulties you're facing at the moment. You may be in some really good times, or you may be facing some really tough things. Or your life may be some mix of the two. The bushfires have certainly been a reminder that life can get pretty tough pretty quickly. But whatever our situation, the Lord Jesus promises to be with us. So I want to now do something I do in my talks in Japan, which is to ask you to take a moment to reflect and pray. Feel free to write something if you've got pen and paper handy. Can you praise God for the way he's been good to you recently? Or do you need to cry out to him to ask him for help? Either way, we live in dependence on him. We praise him for the good things he gives us, or we cry out to him to help us. And those of you who don't follow Jesus yet, please take the time now to consider, is this the time to follow him? So I'll give you a minute and then I'll come back and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you that you are good to us, that you can be trusted in times of trouble and when times are good. So I pray with those for whom life is good at the moment. We praise you for your gifts to us. I want to pray with those who face times of trouble. Lord, we cry out to you to send help. And Lord, I want to pray for those who don't yet follow you. Lord, may your light shine in their lives. May that question that they have, or that worry they have, be answered so that they can trust you and follow the Lord Jesus. This we ask in his name. Amen. We have a trustworthy God who is good to us. Now on to the second point. God is changing us into more trustworthy people. In the psalm, David sings about the right way to respond to God's goodness to us. So for instance, have a look at verse 9. David calls us to fear the Lord. Now to our modern ears, the word fear makes us think of maybe a scary teacher or boss, maybe like this. I think a better way to think of the word fear, often in the Bible, is a deep respect for someone who is far more powerful and far more important than we are. We need to love God as God is, the one who made the world, who sustains the world, and who's going to judge us someday. And this fear of the Lord, David actually says that this is the way to a good life. Verse 12 tells us that respectful love of God leads to the best way to live. Now, what does that look like? Look with me at verses 13 and 14. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. That's a pretty good summary of a trustworthy person. I want to be known as that kind of person. Wouldn't you want to be known as that kind of person? But before I say, well, yeah, let's all go and do that, let's all go and be like that, we actually need to remember that we can't just go and be like that. Not on our own. Living God's way starts with staying close to God, with looking to him, as it says in verse 5, calling to him, verse 6, tasting him, verse 8. Because when we stay close to him, he helps us live through his Spirit who lives inside us. He's right here. He can't get any closer to us. And the Spirit gives us the strength to speak and do what God wants. One of the big opportunities for building trust in the community came when Beck was asked by our kids' principal to come and help teach English in the primary school. And that's Beck helping the kids with the beginnings of the alphabet. Now, in a public school in Japan, there was no chance to talk about Jesus, no chance to talk about the Bible, no chance to talk about church. But as Beck interacted with particularly the 10 teachers that she worked closely with, the other teachers she met in the staff room, was it 350 kids? 350 kids that she saw for 5 weeks. She had a chance to demonstrate godly character, to be someone who looked different. So please pray for us. Please pray that our speech and our actions in our lives would be spirit changed. That our lives would reflect the God we trust, and so that others can trust us because of the way we live. And now it's your turn again. Are you people who keep your tongue from evil and from lying? Do you do good and seek peace? So we're going to stop briefly again. I want you to think of one area that you struggle with, or maybe that you should struggle with, maybe in your speech or in your actions. And I want you to pray now that God's Spirit would change you. So I'll pray after a minute, but please think about one thing at the moment that God needs to change in your life. Father, as our God, we thank you that you not only save us, but you then take us and train us so that our lives change to better reflect a good way to live. So, Lord, I pray you would work in each one of us, work in our hearts, work in our minds, so that our speech and our actions would reflect you and would make us people who others around us can trust more and more. And we ask this in your Son's name. Amen. So God is changing us into more trustworthy people. And on to point three. We're on mission to tell people about our trustworthy God. So as God changes us into trustworthy people, one of the things we do is to praise Him. We respond that way, and we praise Him individually, together, and publicly. And verses 1, 2, and 3 are all about that. They're all about praise. These verses encourage us to keep praising God, reminding us that others will hear about Him as we praise Him. Now, Psalm 34 also reminds us that we need to tell others about God because there's a coming judgment. If you look at verse 16 with me, it reminds us that God cannot ignore people who are indifferent to us, indifferent to Him, sorry, or rebel against Him. After God sent Him to die in our place, Jesus was raised to life, and He returned to God's side in heaven. And God has promised that Jesus will come again to judge all people. That's all people in Australia, in Pennant Hills. That's all people in Japan, and every other country that you can think of. As it says at the end of Psalm 34, the foes of the righteous will be condemned, but those who take refuge in the Lord won't be condemned. We can trust that God will bring justice because He's promised to do so. So we'll take another moment now, and this time I want you to think of at least one person, or two or three or four people around you that don't yet follow the Lord Jesus. They may be in your family, they may be among your friends, they may be at work. Write the names down again if you've got pen and paper, but think of them now and pray for them straight away. Father, we think now of family members or friends or work colleagues who we know and love but who don't yet trust and follow the Lord Jesus. Lord, we ask that the light of your love would shine into their lives and that they might come to trust you and follow the Lord Jesus, so that they may know the way to you, Lord. Amen. Beck was reflecting at some point or other, among one of the many conversations we probably had about our time in Japan. It was about 2 years into our time in Japan that one of our friends, Yudi, came to her to ask about maybe starting a small group for young women together at church. Now, Yudi, who's on the far left, was also fairly new to the church. So there were a bunch of relationships, a bunch of people she needed to get to know, including us, before she felt she could suggest this as something to start at church. She also needed to build trust with us because she wanted to ask whether we could host it at our place. She lives in a one-room apartment, a bit small to have a girls' group coming, you know, every fortnight or whatever. She also wanted Beck to train her as a small group leader. And so Beck and Yudi were able to pray together, and with God's leading, they were able to start the group that you see on the photo. And I guess that's why we're in Japan. to work with people like Yudi so that together we can make God known in Nishinomiya in Japan. Make God known to the many people there who don't yet know him. We want Japanese people to come and take refuge in the Lord Jesus, to come and taste that the Lord is good. And so we want to ask, please come and partner with us in that work.